Bible, please open to that particular chapter, Matthew chapter 5. And the title of today's sermon is, You Are the Salt and Light of the World. Let us pray. Father God, we once again commit this time unto your hand. And Lord, indeed, you are our Savior and our Lord. And Lord, we live to honor you, to give glory to you. And Lord, you have redeemed us from the penalty of sin, from the destruction, from the death of sin. And you have given us the new life. Lord, I pray that, Lord, help us to live a life that's worthy of our faith. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you speak to each and every one of us this morning. And Lord, help us to think how we live our life and what do we want to do this new year. And Lord, help us not to waste our time. And Lord, every precious second, indeed, it's a gift that you have given us. And help us to be watchful, be attentive, and be obedient to you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, many years ago, when I first came to the United States, I was a student at Iowa State University. So after we finished orientation, so the first thing many students normally do, so I'm one of them, so I went to the campus bookstore. So went in there, so I look at all the different things in there, of course. I have to buy my textbook. And also, and when I look at the mark with the Iowa State logo, I said, wonderful. And this little red bird, right? That's the logo of Iowa State. And beautiful. So I pick up the mark. And I look at some of the things in the bookstore, and I found some stickers. And then I found some notebooks. So I ended up with, of course, the books, the textbooks, and a bag full of things that represent me. I'm proud to be a Cyclone, and I'm proud to attend a prestigious university. So I wear them, and I use them every day, and I'm not afraid to show off that I'm a student of Iowa State University. I don't know about you, and I know some of us, we went to college. You might have the same experience as I do. You went to the college bookstore, and you spent the money which you did not have. So you wear, you know, an expensive hoodie or sweater that has the logo, and it costs like $10 or $15 more than one that you can pick up somewhere. Right, you have a mug that's $5 more than a regular mug that you can pick up at Walmart. But you are happy, you are glad. And for many of us high school seniors, perhaps you'll do the same thing the first week when you're in college. But your dad will pay for all your expenses, right? Don't worry about it. So today's passage, it's to remind us, Christians, how do we live in this world? And the passage that our brother Edward just read, actually, it's telling us that believers are sent out into the world to influence it and to show others the way to Jesus Christ. We are the witnesses for Jesus Christ. As a Christians, are we proud of being a Christian? Do people know that we are Christians? At school, at your workplace, in your family, do they know that you are Christians? Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Verses 13 and 14, it says that disciples are sent into the world with a mission. Verse 13, you are the salt of the world. And verse 14 says that you are the light of the world. In chapter 5, if you read verses 1 to 12, Jesus taught his disciple the ways of the kingdom. This is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And following the teaching, how we should live as a kingdom disciple, as a citizen of the kingdom, Jesus sent his disciple into the world with a purpose. Just as verse 13 says, you are of the world. Verse 14 says, you are something of the world. So Jesus desired that all believers and all churches should become the salt and the light of the world. Why? Because, as you and I notice, the world is broken and people are living in darkness. When we read the news, it won't take long for us to realize that this world, the world that we live in, indeed is corrupt and evil. And everyone in this world is affected by the sin problem. And Scripture says that all have sinned. We have seen and we have heard and we have witnessed so many immoral injustice and so many persecutions and so many senseless events that happened in this world. And just recently, in Fort Worth, Texas, someone went into a church during the Sunday worship, pulled out a gun and start shooting at people. Could you imagine that happen here in our church? And shooting, killing of innocent people. And we look around us and we heard the news every day how our nations were so divided and there was so much fighting going on, so much argument, so much divisions. And we have 55% supporting certain philosophy, certain issues, and 45% of people supporting another. So 50-50. So this nation is so much divided over things, over issues, over philosophical principles of this world. And things about what the Scripture said as sin and not to do. You know, we've seen divorce everywhere. My guess is each and every one of us sitting here, you can at least know, you will at least know one or two persons, your friends, even your relatives who are divorcing. And there's so much brokenness in our personal relationship. And in this country and many countries in the world, abortion is being promoted. It's legal in this country and in some other areas, some parts of the country, and in the names of freedom, in the names of having the choice to live my own life. And killing has become a freedom. So there are so many problems in this world. And the Scripture describes us living in this world as blind, as living in darkness. We could not see, we could not differentiate between what is the truth and what is the false, what is false, what is true and what is a lie. Last November, I went, Sister Minghui and I, we went to northern India for a short-term mission trip. So we had an opportunity to visit some cultural places, including this one of the biggest Hindu temples in India, indeed in the world. It was a very impressive building and a very impressive architecture. And when I walk in there, I can see all this handcraft things everywhere, and there are many statues, size of a man even bigger, and there are gold statues in there. And the tour guide asked us one question. He said, "Do you know how many Hindu gods we have? Do you know how many Hindu gods we have in the world? 100? 3,000? He told us there are over 3 million Hindu gods. I said, "What? 3 million Hindu gods?" Then I asked him, "Is there a place that records all the names of the gods?" He said, "Yes, there's a certain place where they keep all the names of the gods." And in India, there are about 1.4 million people, only 2% Christians. And people are living in darkness. So this world is blinded by the devil, by the Satan. And people cannot differentiate between the truth and the lie. And they do not know Jesus, the true light. In Genesis chapter 6, this is after the fall, when Adam and Eve had sinned. This is what the scripture says. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So that's the scenario, that's the situation, that's the conditions, the world which we live in. But God, he has a solution for saving the world. First, about 2,000 years ago, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this world to show us the way out of this corrupt and dark world. Then, He taught his disciples, you are of the world. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. You are my agents. You are my messengers. You are my plan to reach the world, to reach the people of the world for me. As you notice, verses 13 and 14. You are. Jesus said it in the plural form. You are not just for one individual. It's for the whole church, for the body of Christ, to make a difference in this world. And this is the kingdom, the citizen of the kingdoms. This is how we live the kingdom life. And we are, as a body of Christ, to make a difference, to make it, to influence this world for God. Verses 13 and 14 also taught us something special about each believer. And he says that you are something, you are something. You were living in darkness. But as a citizen of the kingdom, now you have a new life. You have something new in you. And you are being transformed into a new person that will affect this world. Now, the reason for your transformation is because you have Jesus Christ in you. And he is the source of this change that you can become something special, something that God intended you to be. It is true new life in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that believers can influence the world for God. So we all have a new life. We all have a new purpose. We all have the power of the Holy Spirit in us because we are the citizen of the kingdom. I grew up in Asia, and growing up, every time when I heard the country Papua New Guinea, I have certain preconceptions, certain ideas about the country. I don't know, when you hear about Papua New Guinea, what's the first thing that comes to mind? So perhaps, you know, I have seen some, read some magazines and read some books, and also I have watched some TV documentaries about the country. And the impression I got was, it is a very remote place in the world, somewhere where headhunters is real. It's not to help you find a job, but to cut your head and display it as their trophies. And it has a history of cannibalism. And that's the impression that I got, I had about Papua New Guinea. However, do you know that today, Papua New Guinea is a Christian country? It has 94.4% of Christians. It has a population of 8.6 million and 94.4% of Christians. How did a country that practiced killings, eating people, become a Christian nation? Early in the 1940s, 1970s, 1980s, and many missionaries entered into this country, and they share, they bring the hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ to this country, and it transformed the whole country from a backward, from a country that a population, a tribe, a people group that honor and glorify killings, to a country that live out for Jesus Christ. Christians, we are meant to live in this world. God saved us, redeemed us, not to put it in a church, in a close and close community, so that we can enjoy the love, the Christian fellowship. We are redeemed from the world, and we're still part of the world. Every believer is a missionary in his or her own community. And we are separated from the world, but we are not of this world. We still live in this world. And brother and sister in Christ, do you know that God save you for a reason, for a purpose, for you to make a difference in this world so that other people can have a new life, can know Jesus Christ, and can receive the eternal life from our Lord and Savior? How can believers influence the family or society? So Jesus continued to teach his disciples. You are the salt of the world. In verse 13 we just read, you are the salt of the world. So what are the uses of salt in this modern world? So are you familiar? For those who spend a lot of time in the kitchen, or you do baking, or you do cooking, you probably know what salt's used for. I Google, kind of out of curiosity, I Google and try to find out what is the usefulness of salt. And there's one site that listed at least 55 ways of using the salt. 55 ways of using the salt. Salt can be used as seasoning in cooking. And when you have sore throat, what do? You gargle with salt water. It seems to help you what? Feels better, right? Yes, indeed, salt has that property. Helps to pull the mucus out of your swollen throat and your inflamed tissues, and helps to relieve the discomfort. But salt, if you eat too much salt, what can happen? It will kill you. It will kill you. You'll feel thirsty, and you'll develop high blood pressure, and you'll have many, many, many different type of physical illness when you grow old. If you have a cut and you go to swim in the ocean, you'll feel what? The stink in your wound, right? It causes the sting and the pain when you are in contact, when your wound are in contact with the salt water. Now, when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the world," it's not for us to go to these 55 uses and pick one or two that I like. So that's not the way to interpret the Bible. However, we need to go back to Jesus' time, to the ancient time. So one of the most popular use of salt is for preservation. Preservation of food, of meat, of vegetable, of things. So most commentators would agree that the salt here, "You are the salt of the world," refers to its preservation's attributes. Like a pickled cabbage or a pickled cucumber or a salted meat, they can last longer if they are being pickled or they're being mixed with the salt. So how does it apply to a Christian when Jesus says that you are the salt of the world? As a Christian, our presence can and should affect the people around us. And as I have shared with you, the world that we live in is so much broken, and it's corrupt, and it's full of evil. A few times, Jessica and I were invited to a non-believer's friend's gathering. And sometimes they will ask questions or say things like, "Can you drink alcohol?" Or, "Can Christians smoke?" And they will make comments like, "I know Christians cannot lie or steal." So those are some common things that they know or they perceive how Christians should live. If your non-believing friends are telling dirty jokes or watching porn and see you approach, would they quickly cover up? Would they stop? Do you have the influence among your friends? Most people, when they see a pastor or minister, or when pastor or minister coming to their home, they will show respect. Or they will put away certain things. It is not because pastors or ministers, we are special. We are better than any other people. But because of the position of a pastor, of a minister, people associate it with what? With a church and with the name Jesus Christ. When people see you, either at school, at work, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your community, do they see you as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? Do they see you as a person who is representing Jesus Christ? So when Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. His intention, his purpose is that we as a Christians, we who profess following Jesus Christ, we are to influence, to impact this world. And we are to stop the evil. We are to live for God's glory. And that's the meaning of you are the salt of the world. Perhaps we can think about our daily decisions at work, at school, or even at home. Do all our decisions reflect our faith, our obedience to Jesus Christ? Think about how you spend your money. How do you spend your time? Where do you go for vacations? What do you do in your free time? And who do you associate with? And what do you do with them? Do all this reflect your life as a Christian? And as a parent, do we walk close with God? Do we make decisions for the whole family that everyone will come to worship every Sunday? And we put God as a priority in our home. And as a student, I know many of us here are students. And in your school, you have a good friends. When they're in trouble, when they come to you and share their trouble, their problems, how would you advise them? How would you encourage them? Does your advice, does your encouragement reflect your Christian value? Many years ago, in England, and still today, there are a lot of pubs. There are a lot of bars. If you go to England, go to Europe, England, somewhere, Dublin, you can see that, you know, pubs is like, you go every street, every 10 of 15 shops, you'll see a bar. 10 of 15 shops, you see a bar. Bar and grill, pub, okay? So it's everywhere. But in the early days, when the Wesley brothers, when they start, the Methodists start sharing the gospel. Things start to change and how they influence their community, their society. And many pub owners hate them because as they started to share the gospel, people stopped coming to the pub. And all the children, the orphans, they were cared for, they were invited to the church, and they were in Sunday school. And the whole community changed. And this is how us Christians should live, as salt, preserving, stop corruption, and stop sin from spreading. This is what God intended for the kingdom citizen to live in this world. So I guess in this year, as we live every day, and as you be in the place of where you are at, think about, are you making the right decision and making the choices, the right choices that pleases God? Don't forget that we are representing God's presence in this world. When they see you, how you live your life, do they see Jesus in you? And to borrow a phrase from someone, we are little Jesus. So as you walk around, people see you as little Jesus. So are you living a little Jesus life every day? Besides the salt, Jesus also called us to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, light, the attribute of light, it's more direct and obvious and bold. Light is to shine so people can see. Salt is more kind of indirect. It kind of influence. But light, when it shines in the darkness, people could see it right away. And light has the attributes, has the benefits of leading the way. You probably heard many times when you're flying. In case of emergency, the lights on both aisles will be lit up. Then follow what? Follow the light to the nearest exit. Have you heard that? Yes. You have heard it so many times, you ignore when someone's standing up there and trying to demonstrate and trying to tell you something that will save your life. But in case of emergency, what? There's no light. But there's this light that will lit up, and you follow the way so that you can get to the exit and get to safety. At night, at home, we put what night lights so that we will not kick something or we will not step on something that's not supposed to be in our way. So it can help guide us to safety as we go to the bathroom, right, and back to our room. Where is a good place to place the light? It should be in a high elevation so others can see. Light guides those who are in the dark. People do not read the Bible or listen to preaching. However, they recognize when they see something good, something that's out of kindness, out of love, and something that reflects Jesus Christ. And this result, this deeds, that good deeds that the scripture talks about, it's out of the life transformation that Jesus talk about here. You are the light of the world. And in the last, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So, here, Jesus, he taught his disciple, we are to live our Christian life boldly and to live more like Christ so others can see our good deeds, our good behavior, the life of Jesus. They can see the life of Jesus in us and they will glorify God. They say, famous Olympian, and he's made very famous by a movie, Chariots of Fire, right? So he won an Olympic gold medal in 1924. He was born in China. His parents were missionary in China. So as we learn from this movie, he refused to race on Sunday because he believed that Sunday is a holy day, a Sabbath day, and he should not race. It's his conviction. So he was supposed to run in 100 meters in the Olympics, but that's sort of his expertise and his skill. But because of his refusal to race on Sunday, so many people criticize him, and some even call him a traitor. The Scottish call him a traitor. But then they decided to put him to run on another day, the 400-meter race, and which is not his best event. However, he not only won the gold medal, he broke the record of the 400-meter race. Now, he did not savor his fame, and he moved forward. He went on to be a missionary in China himself, and he died in China. And his time in China, he spent helping people, telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly the light of the world, as Jesus has proclaimed and has taught his disciples. Now this year, the church, we have a theme. And the theme is what? Making disciples who makes disciples, right? And it will be the same theme for the next so many years. But we have a little emphasis and focus for this year. And our emphasis focus is what? Witnessing for Christ. This year, we're going to do a few things. Church-wide, the English side, the Chinese side. We want to be faithful to God's calling. And we want to show our love to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on March 20th of this year, we're going to start the life group ministry. And I hope each and every one of you will look forward to and will be in a life group. And in life group, what do we do in a life group? Life group, it's a small community. It's a place where we can connect, where we can help each other to connect to God and to connect to one another. And it's a place where we can accountable to one another so we can live the life of the citizen of the kingdom of God. And we can encourage one another to be the salt and the light of this world. It's so much difficult for one person to walk the Christian life. It's so easy for a group of people, for a community of people to walk together. And it's also the design, the desire of our Lord that every believer, we should belong to a community of believers. Because when we are weak, when we fall, someone can help us out. When we are in sickness, when we feel discouraged, there are other brothers and sisters can walk alongside with us. So this year, we are going to start life group ministry. And I really encourage and hope that each and every one of you will be in the life group. And there are two other things which I would like to share with you. And the whole church will be doing this. This year, we're going to train every believer in this church how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so pay attention. When there's invitation, when there's openings, when there's opportunities, take this opportunity so that you can learn, you can be equipped how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to non-believers, to your friends, to your co-workers, to your fellow students. So I hope that to your family members, so I hope that you'll take this opportunity, and this will be coming. And we hope that every believer in this church will himself or herself not only know the message of the gospel complete and be able to share it without any hesitation. And thirdly, every other month, we are going to have a seekers meeting. So for us to be the light, to be the salt of the world, we need to go into the world. We need to invite non-believers. We need to create an environment, safe environment, and a comfortable environment for them to learn about Jesus Christ, to hear about Jesus Christ. And once they witness our life, how we live life as a disciple, we pray that they will also desire to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they will come and accept Jesus Christ. So this year, the goal is for us to have every other month, we're going to have a seekers meeting, and how that's going to pan out. Wait and watch for instructions. And I hope that our whole church, we're not a close group, but we are a group that is filled with the power of Holy Spirit. We are a group that is eager, that is passionate to share our Lord Jesus Christ to the lost world. And let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word that you have taught your disciples. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, these are not just words, but Lord, help us to remember them, to keep them in our hearts. And Lord, help us to live a life that's pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray for our English congregation and pray that, Lord, that out of our love for you, out of faithfulness, out of our obedience to you, Lord, we'll live a life that be the salt and light of this world, and that we will make a difference, and Lord, that we will show others, that we will tell others about Jesus Christ, that then that non-believers will become believers and will in turn become a disciple of you. And Lord, may you be glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.